so much for their humanity, or whatever they chose to call it, thought Unahar Klosp. Only their machines remained. But would any of the others learn? Would they see this for what it was, this frozen rock ball? Would they indeed? Unahar Klosp left the screens glowing and floated out of the train back through the tunnel toward the station itself. The tunnels were bright now, but no warmer, and to Unahar Klosp it seemed as though there was a sort of revealed heartlessness about the harsh yellow-white light which streamed from ceilings and walls. It was operating theatre light, dissection table light. The machine floated through the tunnels, thinking that the Cathedral of Darkness had become a glazed arena, a crucible. Zoxal was on the platform, still trussed against the access ramp girders. Unahar Klosp didn't like the way the Adiran looked at it when it appeared from the tunnels. It was almost impossible to read the creature's expression, if he could be said to have one. But there was something about Zoxal that Unahar Klosp didn't like. It got the impression the Adiran had just stopped moving or doing something he didn't want to be seen doing. From the tunnel mouth, the drone saw Avijah look up from the pallet where he was sitting, then look away again, without even bothering to wave. The changer and the two females were in the train control area with the engineer, Webslin. Unahar Klosp saw them and went forward to the access ramps and the nearest door. As it got there, it paused. Air moved gently. Hardly anything. But it was there. It could feel it. Obviously, with the power on, some automatic systems were circulating more fresh air from the surface or through atmospheric scrubbing units. Unahar Klosp went into the train.
"Unpleasant little machine, that," Zoxal said to Avijah.
The old man nodded vaguely. Zoxal had noticed that the man looked at him less when he was speaking to him. It was as though the sound of his voice reassured the human that he was still tied there, safe and sound, not moving. On the other hand, talking, moving his head to look at the human, making the occasional shrugging motion, laughing a little, gave him excuses to move and so to slip the wires a little further. So he talked. With luck, the others would be on the train for a while now, and he might have a chance to escape. He would lead them a merry dance if he got away into the tunnels with a gun. "Well, they should be open," Hauser was saying. According to the console in front of him and Wubslin, the doors in the reactor car had never been locked in the first place. "Are you sure you were trying to open them properly?" He was looking at the engineer. "Of course," Wubslin said, sounding hurt. "I know how different types of lock work. I tried to turn the recessed wheel. Catches off. Okay, this arm of mine isn't perfect, but, well, it should have opened." "Probably a malfunction," Hauser said. He straightened, looking back down the train, as though trying to see through the 100 meters of metal and plastic between him and the reactor car. There's not enough room there for the mind to hide, is there? Wubslin looked up from the panel. "I wouldn't have thought so."
"Well, here I am,"
Unahar Klosp said testily, floating through the door to the control deck. "What do you want me to do now?"
"You took your time searching that other train," Hauser said, looking at the machine.
"I was being thorough. More thorough than you, unless I misheard what you were saying before I came in. Where might there be enough room for the mind to hide?"
"The reactor car," Wubslin said. "I couldn't get through some of the doors. Hauser says, according to the controls, they ought to be open."
"Shall I go back and have a look then?"
Unahar Klosp turned to face Hauser. The changer nodded.
"If it isn't asking too much," he said levelly.
"No, no,"
Unahar Klosp said airily, backing off through the door it had entered by. "I'm starting to enjoy being ordered about. Leave it to me." It floated away, back through the front carriage toward the reactor car. Valveda looked through the armoured glass at the rear of the train in front, the one the drone had been looking through.
"If the mind was hiding in the reactor car, wouldn't it show up on your mass sensor? Or would it be confused with the trace from the pile?"
She turned her head slowly to look at the changer.
"Who knows?" Hauser said. "I'm not an expert on the workings of the suit, especially now it's damaged."
"You're getting very trusting, Hauser," the culture agent said, smiling faintly. "Letting the drone do your hunting for you."
"Just letting it do some scouting, Valveda," Hauser said, turning away and working at some more of the controls.
He watched screens and dials and meters, changing displays and readout functions, trying to tell what was going on, if anything, in the reactor car. It all looked normal, as far as he could tell, though he knew less about the reactor systems than about most of the train's other components from his time as a sentinel.
"Okay,"
Yalsa said, turning her chair to one side, putting her feet upon the edge of one console and taking her helmet off.
"So what do we do if there's no mind there in the reactor car? Do we all start touring round in this thing, take the transit tube, or what?" I don't know that taking a mainline train is a good idea, Hawser said, glancing at Wobslin.